إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله خير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار فإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the only one worthy of praise. He fulfills his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides into Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seed of all the prophets. For Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the Sunnah. The words of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability, fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslim. Inshallah, today we continue our class concerning the explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram in Adillat al-Ahkam by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the book was called Attainment of the Objective. And last class we had start the second half of the book, alhamdulillah. And last week we talked about the book of business and transaction. And we cover up to page number 279. And we came to hadith number 664. And inshallah, today we continue the second class in the book of business and transaction. And we go over again over the last Qabla Hadith, so we can bring this to our mind and our memory what we were talking about last week. Last week, the last two hadiths that we discussed was Hadith number 664 and Hadith number 665. And both hadiths are authentic. The first one, which is reported by Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيع الحصى. حديث reported by Abu Huraira, حديث in the collection of Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليه, which رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade from the action determined by throwing stone. And also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade any transaction which involves some uncertainty, and the business or the transaction by using the hata, the stone or the paper. To give example, that somebody will say to you, I will sell you this car according to the amount of paper that my hand will grab from the ground. And he will take a handful of stones or a handful of paper and he counts how many paper in his hand. So if it's 10, he will sell you this car at $10,000. Okay, if it's 5, the car will be $5,000. So how much will come in his hand, this will be the price. This is one form. Another form, a person will tell you, I'll tell you a piece of land for $500. How much is this piece of land? He say, I will throw this rock or this stone, and how far the stone will go and land, this will be your property for $500. Okay? Or that a person will say to you, I'll tell you one of these horses, okay, for $1,000. Which horse? You say, I will throw this stone, and which horse gets hit by this stone, this is your horse for $1,000. This could not be done. It's not this only, but any other transaction may involve something is not clear and is not certain. That I'm telling you a portion of my property. How much is this portion? I'm telling you one of my houses. Which house is selling? You see, these things could not be done. And Islam will avoid these things or forbid these things. Because Islam is concerned about Muslims to be in transaction with certainty and the clear. And also Islam tries to avoid all means and avenues that bring about confusion in the Muslim life and bring about hatred and boycotting one another. Because now you are not going to be happy with the transaction and now you're going to feel hatred in your heart towards your Muslim brother. And these things disturb the Muslim community. So any transaction which has things is not clear to you, not clear to him, which part of the property, which horse, which car, which what, this could not be done. And we'll give example by one of the things that we deal with in our life, insurance. Because the transaction of insurance, okay, you don't know how much you're getting or how much is going to be involved. So you're paying a payment, monthly payment or a yearly payment, and if something happens to your house, like a fire or damage or a flood, now you'll get such amount. And how much of this amount, you don't know. It depends on how much is the loss to happen, okay? And there's possibility that no flood will happen this year, okay? So all these things that has no clarity between you and the buyer or the seller, you could not be involved in it. If you have your own choice, and you are not been forced by the law, and you have no other place to go, this is a different story now. The next hadith, also reported by Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, this is page number 279, hadith number 665, وعنه, that means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عنه, that means from Abu Huraira, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, من اشترى طعاما فلا يبيعه حتى يكساله. That whosoever, if one of you buys grain, he must not sell it till he weighs it. Okay? So I bought 100 pounds of rice. I bought it by scale, or that I bought it by measurement. So if you measure 100 pounds of rice, or 100 grams, or whatever the measurement that you're using, so now when you want to resell this rice or this grain, you shouldn't sell it according the measurement or the word that you got it before. Because many possibilities happen during this, okay? Possibility of luck, possibility that you've been cheated before by the first person, okay? Possibility that the scale was off, you understand, was not accurate. So now I got 100 pounds of rice, and now you came to buy 100 pounds of rice from me. I didn't give it to you according to what I got before. You see? But I have to re-weight it, or re-scale it, or re-measurement, okay? And tell you according the measurement that I have and according your personal obligation. Again, this also to avoid problems among the Muslims, and people cheating one another, and people doubting each other, and people boycotting one another, and fighting over this worldly thing. The next hadith, which is hadith number 666, Imam al-Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me? Okay. Hadith number 666, and this is page number 279 from both below al-Maram. Attainment of the objective. Again, page number 279, hadith number 666. وعنه ذاتين from أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيعتين في بيعة لحديث حسن reported by أبو هريرة and لحديث in the collection of الإمام أحمد النسائي and الترمذي and Ibn Majah, alayhi wa sallam. Again, this hadith is a collection of Imam Ahmad and Al-Nisa'i, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade two transactions combined in one. Two transactions combined in one. With this example by this, okay? That a person who will tell you, I can use this car for $500 now, if you give me cash now. And I'll sell it to you for $600.50 if you pay me later. Okay? Now you take the car and leave, but it is not determined and agree which price you will buy. Okay? So you could not do this. This is two kind of transactions dealing with the same item. Okay? Which also creates a confusion. And this is not lawful in Islam. There is other kind of transactions that will sell. I sell you this car and with the condition that you sell me your house. Okay? And the first one, because both of you left without knowing which deal is taking, the immediately, which is cash, or the later on. And the second example, that he's selling this car and same time for him to sell you this horse, okay? So this is another two transactions in the same time. And you don't know if he's willing to sell you his horse or no, and if he has the horse, and if he owns it or no, all these things. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade a person make a transaction, two transactions combined in one thing. This hadith is hasan, is good, is acceptable. In another narration, من باع بيعتين في بيعة فله أوقتهما أو الربا. Okay, and the hadith is hasan also. This in the collection of the Imam Abu Dawood, if one make two transactions combined in one, he must confirm that the lower, or that means he has to go by the lower price, or that he will be involved in usury and interest. Okay? So now I sell you this car for $500 now, and if you pay me later, you pay me $650. Now the person list, this is two transactions involved in one deal. Okay? So now the person list, we don't know which one he's going to take. Is he going to pay now, or he's going to pay after 1 month? Okay? What's going to happen if he comes with the money tomorrow? Okay? Say, no, I meant something, give me now while I was standing there. In this condition, the seller has no choice except to do what? To go according to the lower price. Otherwise, if he goes with the second negotiation, he's going to be dealing with usury, dealing with haram. Okay? So, now, if the person makes two transactions, in one, he has to go by the lower one, otherwise, if he go by the higher bid, that he will be involved in usury, which is very haram. There is another example for two transactions. Two transactions in one, that I will sell you this car for $500 and you pay me later, and now you sell me this car back for $400 cash. Okay, again, I will sell you this car now for $500, I give it to you now for $500, okay, but you're going to pay me in a month later. After we agree about the price, now I tell you what, sell me this car, the same car, for $400 cash. So what does it mean? That means I'm giving you $400, so you still owe me. And so that means this 100 came as what? It's a matter of usury now, okay? That now you involved in usury, you involved in something haram, making two transactions in one. So now I sell it and I get it back to you with less money, and this is almost like a trick. So how you can get with some kind of using the money? Okay? So in this condition, the person, he has no choice except, the buyer, except to go the lower bid or the lower price. So from this hadith, we understand whatever form in business, it has to be one transaction at the time. You could not make two transactions in the same commodity in the same time. And this has been forbidden in Islam also. The next hadith, which hadith number 667. عن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحل سلف وبيع ولا شرطان في بيع ولا ربح مال مثل الإسلام ولا شرطان في بيع. Not two conditions related to one transaction. The same thing like we just spoke about in the previous hadith. Okay? ولا بيع ما ليس عندك. Okay? Two transactions in one, that I tell you this book, okay? For $2 if you pay me now, and $5 if you pay me next week. Again, this is two transactions related to the same thing. Or that I said to you, I will sell you this car with condition. I sell you this car with a condition that you don't give it a gift, neither that you resell it. Okay? Again, this is two conditions in one transaction. And also the Prophet ﷺ forbid that the profit of something that you don't own. Nor the profit arising from something which is not is in own charge. That you could not make a profit of something that doesn't belong to you. Okay, I don't tell you make a profit out of a car that belongs to somebody else. Okay? Or that I make a profit in commodity that I didn't get it with. Okay? So I make a deal with you that I'm selling you this car for $500 and I don't even have the car. Okay? Somebody promised me, my brother or whatever my sister promised me to give me her car as soon as she gets another car. Now I'm selling you the car, making a profit of something that I don't visit it or I don't have it. And all these things is forbidden in Islam because these things bring about hatred and going at one another because things is not clear. It's not clear, okay? You're selling something, you don't have it, I could not see it. You're making two transactions in one, making two negotiations in about the same thing. So all these things are like a confusion to the people, and even if it works right away, it brings about argument and dispute and going chatting one another later on. Now, regardless if we say from boycotting or no, argument or no, it's still, if somebody say, it's fine with me. And even if the car didn't show up, it's still fine with me. Even if it's fine with you, but it's still because by the Islamic law, it's not permissible. Okay? So it's not enough that the buyer and the seller agree to the condition. Okay? The property itself has to be lawful. Okay? That I'm selling you a car, that I'm not selling you a taxi as a gamble. Alright? That you are pleased with the transaction and pleased with the transaction. Okay? And it has to be lawful Islamically. That means Allah make it permissible and His Messenger. Okay? So if somebody says that, alaykum salam, there's no problem, I agree for this condition, we said no, you could not make this kind of transaction because Islam forbids this form of transaction. The next hadith, hadith number 668, is weak. Okay? The hadith is weak, so we're going to leave it alone. Hadith number 669, page number 280, وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال, ابتعت زيتا من السوق فلما استوجبته لقيني رجل فأعطاني به ربحا حسنا فأردت أن أضرب على يد الرجل فأخذ رجل من خلفي بذراعي فالتفت فإذا هو زيد بن ثابت فقال لا تبعه حيث ابتعته حتى تحوزه إلى رحلك فإن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى أن تباع السلع حيث تبتاع حتى يحوزها التاجر إلى رحاله حتى يحوزها التجار إلى رحاله. This hadith is Hasan and is the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Hibban and Al-Hakim. What happened in this story that Ibn Umar had went to the market and he bought oil or a ghee. And after he bought it, another man met him in the market and he negotiated made a negotiation with him and he gave him a good price. And Ibn Umar was about to agree to the deal. But in this moment somebody took by his arm from behind him. When he lodged it with Zayd ibn Thabit, and he said to him, don't sell it until you take it out of the place that you brought it from. And after this, we narrated the narration from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade the commodity or whatever the what he's selling to be sold on the spot where they were bought from, till the business people take them to their dwelling places. Okay? So here Zayd, he forbade Ibn Umar and he stopped him from doing this kind of transaction. And we see from this we learn that the Sahaba, some of them, they used to be more learned than others, okay? Because not all the Sahaba used to be there when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam given class or given hadith, okay? Some of them, they have illness or sickness, some of them in jihad, some of them, they taking care of business outside, some of them maybe live a distance. So some of them, they have the information and some they don't. But what happens that those who have the information, they use to advise and correct and teach others who does not have the information. And usually the person who has the information, he is more acceptable than the person who doesn't have it. So somebody say, oh, I don't have any information concerning this. Okay? The other Sahabi said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this. So the person, they say, مَنْ عَلِمَا حُجَّ عَلَى مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. That the person that who has the knowledge, we welcome him, or that we respect what he got, than that a person who doesn't have it, okay? So a person who has the knowledge will respect it more than the person does not have it. I don't mean the respect is that a person, you understand, that means what you mean? That means we accept the information. For those who claim they have the information, than a person who doesn't have information. Okay? The second thing about this hadith, that it's forbidden for a person to sell the commodity, if this is the right term to use, whatever this item that you buy, you could not resell it in the same spot. Okay? You have to possess it completely by transferring it from the spot that you're in. Because as long as we still in the same spot, you as a buyer, me as a seller, we still have the right that we can cancel this transaction. So, as example, a person, he has to visit this with him, to move it from the spot to another spot, which you consider your spot. Okay? So as example, if we say that you are in the state auction, and just now you bought this car. Okay? Now, you could not move, and somebody said, okay, I take this car for you and give you $100 more. Now this car has to come to your position, your title, your ownership, come to your lot, now you can come and buy it, because now it's called mine, in my position. Okay, what about a house as a example? You could not take the house to move it to your place. Okay? So the transaction here, how it's going to happen? That by emptying the house. Okay? Now when you empty the house, that nobody lives in the house, and now you're giving me a house. Now this is the house became my possession, because the house could not be transferred from place to place. So the possession of the house in this time will be the sign of it by what? By emptying the house from your furniture. If somebody renting the house, you step out of the house, and now the house can be became yours and under your ownership. As I stated before, that this hadith is hasan, is good. Hadith number 670, page number 281, وعنه, that means Ibn Umar also, قال, قلت يا رسول الله, اني ابيع الابل بالبقيع، فابيع الدنانير واخذ الدراهم، وابيع بالدراهم واخذ الدنانير، اخذ هذا من هذا واعطي هذا من هذا. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا بأس ان تأخذها بسعر يومها ما لم تتفرق وبينكما شيء. In actuality, this hadith, we could not say even hadith, is mawquf. Okay? This is narration from the companion. He did not utter it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But concerning the waqf of the hadith is acceptable, that authentic. That al-baqi'a, which is the place of the graveyard, okay, before they use it as a graveyard, it used to be a marketplace. And Ibn Umar used to sell the camel there. And this one thing to show us that the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, that they are a people of business or trade or some kind of work. They are not the people who are sitting as beggars or only sitting in the masjid, like some people imagine, okay? To be sitting only receiving the knowledge day and night, doing nothing else, okay? So we see them doing things to earn a dollar, because earning a halal dollar, and this is the reason that Ikhwan Islam is even talking about how to earn your dollar, because this is part of Islam. So working and earning a money, as long as lawful, is a form of ibadah and a form of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you have responsibility towards yourself, towards your family, towards the Muslim community also, okay? Even if you're not married, you're still supposed to be helping the Muslims in general. Therefore, that we see the Sahaba in different ahadith, they're doing different things. Some of them have cultivation, some of them they selling, making business, whatever they're doing, okay? So in this hadith, he used Ibn Umar to sell the dinar and take dirham. And he used to sell the dirham and take dinar. That means he used, like you say, selling the gold by silver and receiving the price in silver. And selling silver and receiving the price in gold. Okay? So he was questioning about it, or asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed him that there is no harm taking them at the current rate of that day, as long as you don't separate it, leaving each other, meaning the buyer and the seller, while it's still something to settle between both of you. That means you get the full price. When you're dealing with gold to silver and silver to gold, it can be done. But you have to settle the agreement, finish it there on the spot, and nothing can be for later on. That means I could not sell you 10 silver real, as example, for 3 gold, and I tell you later. Okay? Or I sell it according to the price of tomorrow or next week or yesterday. It has to be according the going rate of today, and it has to be also the transaction took place right away in the spot, and nothing to be left from the price of such thing like gold and silver. It has to be settled and finalized it on the spot when you need this deal right away. The next hadith, hadith number 671, from Ibn Umar, naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an al-Najash. Hadith muttafaq alayh. The hadith in the collection of al-Bukhari and Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forbade the Najash. Okay? Digging against one another. And just like if the item is not open for negotiation, I mean for bidding, okay? There is certain things that you can sell it for bidding. Let's say I want to sell this tape recorder. Who gives me? How much you give me for it? Somebody will say $10 and the other player, I say who give more? Somebody say 15, 20, okay? So this I open for bidding. But if I'm selling this book for $5, and here I'm about to understand, make this transaction, and somebody else will say, may I give you $6 for it? Okay? I did not start it, and I didn't put it in public for bidding, and I was selling it. So now you come, and you make a higher price over your Muslim brother. What do you think, how is your Muslim brother going to feel about you? Okay? So it was not open for bidding, and you came, and you set a higher price, and also there is other possibilities that people come and do this not for purpose of buying. They do it so the price can go up and up, and after this they withdraw, and now you're going to sell it for the highest price that you got while this person already left. So now they say, I was going to get it for $5, now I have to pay $12. Okay? And now you get to get ideas that now you can sell it for up to $12, and the person says, no, I'm not willing to give it to me for $5. You see? So if somebody presenting something for sale for a fixed price, is not supposed for another Muslim to come and make a bid over him and raise the price and causing difficulty and hardship for his Muslim brother, and this again can bring about harshness and boycotting each other and have hatred and jealousy and envy in the heart for one another. Regardless, again, if it's going to bring up a hatred or no, it's still you are not supposed to do this, and if you do this, or if you transact according this way, you'll be doing something haram. The hadith is authentic. Hadith number 672, وعن جابر ابن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن المحاقلة والمجادلة والمخابرة وعن السنية إلا أن تعلم حديث نمبر 672 reported by Jabir may Allah be pleased with him that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade this kind of transaction. المحاقلة, that selling the barley while still in the corn, not the corn, what you call it? The stock, before it became ripe already, okay? And المزادرة, like palm trees, and the tree is just starting, the palm trees, the grapes just start to come on the palm tree, and possibility that it can have a defect by the weather or by animals or what you call insects. All these possibilities, you understand, before completely come to be ready. Or that you feel it while on the palm tree with a resin that already been harvested and been measured already. So I say, I tell you, understand, whatever on top of the palm tree all these days for 5 kilo of resin. But how much you get on the palm tree? You don't know. You see? And how much out of it is going to be good, it's not known. But the raisin is ready to eat, and it is already, you saw it, and you know that this is 5 pounds. So you could not make this kind of exchange, or this kind of switching this by this transaction. You take this, buy this, okay, because you don't know what's going to be happening to this, and if you know, you don't know how much on the palm tree okay, equal to this. You could not sell also the grains while selling the sticks with grains that already been harvested with 5 pounds of rice that already been harvested and bad and in the bag ready to go, and the other rice is selling the grains, selling the sticks, okay? You could not do this, so. Why you can المخابرة that you make a deal. You take the person, I rent you this 5 acres and you give me 1/3 of what comes. But what 1/3? Okay? 1/3 of what comes. This can be okay. But when you say I rent you the 5 acres and I will take whatever comes from this area, no. Because this area of the land, this 1 acre of the land, it can be the best piece of property. So the whole harvest will come good in this acre, while maybe the other 4 acres, nothing comes good. You see? So that means the farmer had put all his effort, and he sweat, and he got nothing. And now you got what? You got all the good. Okay? But if it comes 1/3 of what comes, this is a different story. 1/3 of what comes out of the 5 acres. You see, this will be a different from you. Make it a certain area, I will take the harvest which comes of this specific acre. You could not do this also in Islam. So from this hadith we understand that it's forbidden for a person selling something on the trees is something that already measured and ready to go, regardless whatever this kind of fruit or vegetable. The next hadith, which is hadith number 673, حديث نمبر 673 عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن المحاقلة والمخابرة والملامسة والملابذة والمزابنة رواه البخاري. The hadith is authentic. Again, this term المحاقلة والمخابرة والملامسة والمنابذة, all the forms are forbidden in Islam. Selling the fruit before it gets ripe or before it gets ready. So now later on the mosquitoes or the insects and the birds come to eat it, okay, or that storm comes and destroys the whole thing, all the things can happen. So you could not sell it before it became ready and possibility that you can get it. Okay? The second thing, al-mulamasa, that you buy this food or buy this material by touching it. Okay? And maybe during the night, it's dark, okay? See, how much is it sold? This is $5. So this is using the hand only, but you don't examine it with your eyes. So by touching it, and also whenever that you throw me something and I throw so you something, and now this will be the transaction, okay? I don't look at it. Exchange watches, okay? You give me your watch, I give you your watch, you throw it to me, I throw it to you, and this is it. Okay? Or you throw this here, I throw this here, and you get what I throw to you, you get what I throw to you. Okay? Throwing things to each other. All the forms of transaction is forbidden in Islam. حديث نمبر 664 وعن طاووس عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تلق الركبان ولا يبيع حاضر لباد. قلت لابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما ما قال لا يبيع حاضر لباد؟ قال لا يكون له سمسارا. متفق عليه واللفظ البخاري. حديث اوثنتيك عن حديث ذا كولكشن اوف الامام البخاري از ويل از امام مسلم ذات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في فوربيد and he said what the meaning is don't go out to meet the riders out of town or out of the city limits. A person who from the city is not supposed to sell for a person out of the city or out of the place. As example, here I'm coming from Africa with all this what you call combs made out of the elephant okay, and I don't know, you understand, what is this in America, what is the value of this, okay? Here you come, you understand, you know that I'm coming, and you go, I still come out of the ship, there in Charleston, you come and say, how much, man, I'll give you $100 for all these combs, okay? 100 combs for $100, and here, I don't know, a dollar is something good for me in Africa, so I took $100, I'm so happy. This man, he will take it and put it in his antique shop, selling each comb for $1,500. Or $1,500. You see? So, and here, because I didn't know what's going on in America. So this is what you call Hadar Lubadi. A person living in the city, and this is Lubadi, is a desert man coming up out of the city. He doesn't know what's going on. And now I go and catch you out of God, give you a price, and you think he got a good deal, you gave him and gone. You take an advantage of him.
It's a fair price, though.
You give them a fair price.
Yeah, if you gave them a fair price. Let's say the phone is over $1,500 a piece, and you gave $1,000 a piece to each one of them. Could you do it?
It's still a fair. If it's fair, let him come in town, get to know what is the going on, guys. Okay, and he knows it goes between $1,300 and $1,500. Now, if he wants to sell it to you for $1,200, now it's okay. But don't take advantage of him for him being not knowing the price. You see, and you know that if he come inside, he will get a higher price, right? And for sure that everybody will do something together to get it. Okay, so now by seeing him or sending somebody out, okay, and giving you idea what is the gold price or whatever and try to convince you to sell to him, you could not do this. You see, by any means, you could not take advantage of Muslims, okay? And let the people get to know what is going on. Let them come in town and see what is the going on price, and let them, after this, make the decision if they want to make it, sell it for retail or wholesale or give it to you, whatever it is. But as long as he is not being deceived, or he doesn't know what's going on, and later on he will feel sorry about the transaction that he did. And this applies, I understand, if it's food, this is animals, this is, and take whatever it is that you bring in from out of town. This also again to show you how the Islam concerning about protecting the property of the Muslim and not to let people take advantage of each other. This hadith, which hadith number 675, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تلقوا الجلب فمن تلقى فاشترى منه فإذا أتى سيده السوق فهو بالخيار. Hadith in collection of Imam Muslim, reported by Abu Huraira. Hadith is authentic for sure. that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't go out to meet what is being brought to the market for sale. If anyone has meat, so and some of it is bought, when its owner comes to the market, he has a choice of canceling the deal or keeping. Again, the person that he usually they send out to bring the business to the town and things like this, okay, like the right hand business or the slave person or whatever it is. So now, if somebody goes and brought this item to the market and somebody has a deal with him, now it's up to his master when he comes later on. Okay, because this slave man, he doesn't know what is going on. And somebody did this. Now it's up to his master or the, like what you say today, what you call this, the manager or the supervisor, the owner of the company, to let the deal go or he can cancel it, okay, due to unfairness happening in the transaction. I think right hand this is for the female, if I'm not mistaken. This is from the top of my head now, this is not... okay.
What's the difference between a female slave and a right hand position?
Okay.
Yeah.
A right hand with this and a slave?
Yes.
Okay, as I said, if I'm not mistaken, and Allah knows this, that the slave is a male member, okay? Right hand with this, usually this term used for the female slave. If anybody knows something better, let me know. This is the English term, I'm not expertise in English, okay, a term in the message of both of them, and I'm sure I'm not asking about this, you talking about the terminology.
The term might, right answer this might indicate that they have some kind of intimate relationship with the person.
Okay, is this what I say, the difference in the usage?
They're called female slaves and male slaves, that's why I'm asking about.
And male?
Female slave and male slave.
Okay. Yeah. The right hand with this is a female.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Certain thing.
Yes.
Because that she's still a slave.
Yes.
That means the man, he bought it,
mm-hmm.
he owned it, he got it out of she has the booty,
yeah.
The spoils of the war. But he has the right
mm-hmm.
to be with her intimate. But the slave male, he works for him, he do everything for him, but he could not be intimate with him. Okay? So, but this is I think the usage is different, or the way how to say it is different, but why the terminology, this is the way that I understood it.
Is it similar to concubine then?
The same thing. It's a different term in English also.
Mm-hmm.
Concubine or right hand with this,
okay.
Or I forgot what the other thing. This hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an yabi'a hadirun mubadin wa la tanadashu wa la yabi'u ar-rajulu ala bay'a akhih wa la yakhtub ala khitbati akhih wa la tas'alu al-mar'atu talaqa ukhtiha litakfa'a ma fi ina'iha. Mutafaqun alayh. This hadith, which reported by Abu Raira, and the hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again forbidden the person who lives in town to sell to a person out of town. Okay? That because I know the price, okay, and you don't know the price, so I shouldn't be taking advantage of this. This is your situation. And the second one, the najish, okay, that making a bid over the price that I'm about to let the private voice for, selling this book for $5, and after this, somebody jump out of nowhere and say, I give you $7 for it. Okay? And also, the person is not supposed to make a bargain over his Muslim brother. Bargain. And a woman is not supposed to ask her husband to divorce her co-wife so she can have her place. Okay? So she can have all the nights, she can have the whole house, or she can have, you understand, whatever it is. So now, that you have to care for the other Muslim sister, the same way that you have rights, she has rights, and you have needs, she has needs. So don't try to provoke your husband and make things against her to make her life miserable until he comes to a conclusion that you have to divorce her, so now you have the place by yourself. Like two people eating in a plate, okay? So you try to push this person out, so now he leaves, so now he's eating all of the plate to you. That is the expectation, you understand? That now she left, he divorced her, so now you're eating everything. You're getting everything in the plate by yourself. This is not proper, okay? All the things is forbidden in Islam. The next hadith, let's see, this hadith number 676, the hadith we just talked about it, that Rasulullah forbid a towner to sell for a man from a desert, went to bid against another, a man to buy in a position to his brother, to proposed a woman after his brother, no, I jumped, is it? The man to buy in opposition to his brother to propose a woman after his, a woman, why a kid? To propose a woman.
Okay,
to propose to a woman after his brother has done, that means that he already made intention and he agreed. I escaped this in my explanation. So if a Muslim went and made intention or proposed to a sister and her guardian and the sister agree, but there is a waiting period because they are not ready or he don't have the dowry, whatever it is, so somebody come and take advantage during this waiting period and come and go make a proposal over the proposal of his Muslim brother. This is forbidden also, okay? Or a woman to ask to have her sister divorced between her co-wife, okay? In order to deprive her of what belongs to her. The same thing again, but this other narration, say a Muslim must not offer a price above what offered by another Muslim brother. Hadith number 677, عن أبي أيوب الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من فرق بين والدة وولدها وولدها فرق الله بينه وبين أحبته يوم القيامة. This hadith in the collection of the Imam al-Tirmidhi and al-Hakim and Ahmed. The hadith is authentic, reported by Abu Ayyub al-Ansari that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if one of you separated a mother from her child, Allah will separate him from his beloved ones in the day of the judgment. Okay? As example, if the person have two slaves, excuse me, my question. If you have two slaves and both of them are brothers, or a mother, the mother and her baby, a mother and her baby, this in his position, that he's not supposed to go and tell the mother without the baby, or telling the baby without the mother. Okay? Because this will be separation, and that the child needs his mother. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who does this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him with something similar in the day of the judgment, that he will separate it between him and his beloved one in the day of the judgment. Alayhi wa sallam. Okay, we get back at 8:30, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, we continue with our class. Last hadith. Concerning separation between mother from her children, I think this is the last one that we mentioned. The next hadith is hadith number 678. 678 عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أمرني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أبيع غلامين أخوين فبعتهما ففرقت بينهما فذكرت ذلك للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أدركهما فارتجعهما ولا تبعهما إلا جميعا. حديث نمبر 678. حديث reported by علي بن أبي طالب. حديث page number 284. جاءت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد كناني تسير two brothers. I sold them and I separated between them. When I made mention of that to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, find them out and give them back. And don't sell them back together. Again, it shows that we're not supposed to be separating between the two brothers. This is similar to the hadith before also. And the master has the right to tell his slaves, but he doesn't have the right to separate between both of them. And to keep them together or to sell them together. Hadith number 679, page number 284. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال غلا السعر في المدينة على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال الناس يا رسول الله غلا السعر فسعر لنا فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله هو المسعر إن الله هو المسعر القابض الباسط الرزاق. واني لارجو ان القى الله تعالى وليس احد منكم يطالبني بمظلمة في دم ولا مال. حديث reported by Anas and the hadith is authentic and the hadith in collection of Imam Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, that in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the price of things went up, things became expensive. So the companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining about people in charging too much money for whatever sale they selling. And they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to put a price on things, to make a fixed price for things. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sets the prices. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the withholder and the giver as well as the provider. Allah is the one who sets prices. Allah is the one who extends. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is bold. Allah is the provider. And I hope not to do so. I don't want to do so because I want to, when I meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of the judgment, that nobody have an argument against me or a claim against me in anything concerning money or property or blood or anything like this. Okay? So this shows us that fixing the price in things is not permissible, and this is not even the right of the ruler, and this is supposed to be left to us, the people, because as the people set the price, they set the price high, nobody buying from them, okay? But it has to be like a free market, and the people will go wherever they feel that is a better price, okay? But we have to make something very clear here. As long as the item is not in necessity now of the life, and as long as the person is not the only person selling this in the city or in the town. As example, let's give example by halal meat. Let's say that only one person selling halal meat in whole Columbia, South Carolina. Okay? So since he's the only one selling halal meat, and he's in a community that they believe that the zabiha of the people of the book is not halal, so he knows for sure that everybody has to come buy from him. So now he's taken advantage of this, and the bound of the beef in the state is $2.25, now he's selling for $5. You see? Now you could not do this. Why? Because now if there is more than one person selling halal meat, now we can let you jack your price up as much as you want. Because if he's selling it for $10, while somebody else is selling it for $3, for sure nobody is going to come and buy from you for $10. Okay? But the volume, okay, is it any better? No. Okay. What about now? Okay. This is as far as I can do the value. Huh?
He wanted it up or down?
Yeah, he wants it up. Okay. So also, that this product that what he's selling is not an efficiency of the people, like salt as an example, okay? Or water, drinking water, or whatever it is. So this is considered a secret of life, and adding to this, if you are the only one selling it, now you could not fix the price so high. And in this time, the ruler have to interfere and with this regular and set a price which can be fair for you as well as the consumer. وعن معمر ابن عبد الله رضي الله عنه تعالى عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يحتجر إلا خاطئ. This hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim. The hadith is authentic reported by Muammar ibn Abdullah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none keeps goods till the price rises but is thinner. Okay? Now, he go and buy all the rice in the market. Okay? And how he keep it for a couple of weeks until he makes sure any retail store they sell out. They have nothing. Now the only one has rice is who? Is him. Now he's going to do what? He's going to raise the price up. Okay? So again, this is called muhtakir. A person who takes advantage of the people's condition, holds whatever product that he has until nobody else has it. So it's another trick, another way, you understand, how he can be the only one selling this. And the people need it, so the people have no choice except to buy from him. So, anybody who does this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he's a khati, he's committing a khati'ah, he's committing a sin. Hadith number 681, page number 285, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تقر الإبل والغنم فمن ابتاعها بعد فهو بخير النظيرين بعد أن يحلبها إن شاء أمسكها وإن شاء ردها وطاعا من تمر. متفق عليه. ولمسلم فهو بالخيار ثلاثة أيام. وفي رواية له علق البخاري ورد معها طاعا من طعام لا تمراء. قال البخاري والتمر أكثر is authentic. The hadith that the people they will go and play a trick with the animals and they will hold the milk inside the breast of the sheep or the camel, so when the buyer come to buy this camel or this sheep and we see all this milk, the bread is filled with milk, you will think and understand that it's a good milking cow or a good milking sheep. This is something like every day. But he's been holding this milk inside for 2-3 days, okay? By tying the nipples of the animal, now, or not, because the animal has no way to get the milk out if the farmer didn't milk it, okay? So the milk starts accumulating 2-3 days, and now after this, they take it to the market. And everybody will see it, okay, like this. Now he says he's getting a good bargain, okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade people doing this trick to their animals. And let's assume that somebody been deceived by this, and he bought it in this condition, but 2-3 days later, he don't count because as soon he milk it, the second day, is no milk, okay, or what comes is little, the third day is not, or little. No, he knew that he already, that somebody had laid tricks on him, okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after this, if you found that you've been tricked, you are has a choice. You can keep this animal, or you can return it back to the seller. Okay? Although that he gone to his house already, and you went to your house already, a day or two or three is gone, but still you have the choice to keep it or to return it back.
Is the seller supposed to refund you your
money? Yes. He has to. Okay? Because he tricked you. Okay? But here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, that a person should return it with a start from summer, okay? Like filling your hand 4 times with dates, okay? Because you had used this milk. So you tell that you could not put the milk back in the animal, or the milk has been drunk already, so you give them something in return of your use of this milk, which is a saw, a measurement from a date. Again, the hadith shows us that this manner and this way of treating this supposed to be done because this is un-Islamic. The next hadith, hadith number 682, عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال من اشترى شاتا محسلة فردها فليرد معها صاع. Again, the same meaning that if anybody had bought a goat whose other has been tied up and he returned it, he must return with it one صاع. Okay? And that or food, okay, because he had used this milk. Hadith number 683 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مر على سدرة من طعام فأدخل يده فيها فنالت أصابعه بللة فقال ما هذا يا صاحب الطعام؟ قال أصابته السماء يا رسول الله. قال أفلا جعلته فوق الطعام حتى يراه الناس من غشنا فليس منا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith was reported by Abu Huraira, and the hadith is the collection of the Imam Muslim. The hadith is authentic that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was walking in the marketplace and he saw a pile of food, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he stuck his hand inside this pile of food and he felt weakness inside, and he questioned the owner of the food. He said, what's wrong with your food? Why is it? The Prophet ﷺ was raining, okay? It happened as a result of the rain. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, so how come you didn't get it in the top of the food? Outside, okay? Not inside. So the people can see it. You can see the defect, you see the badness or the weakness in the food. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him, مَنْ غَشَّ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. That whosoever deceives is not one of us, not part of the Muslim community. Okay? So trying to show your product in a way and hiding the defect, okay, is not Islamically. It's not Islamic, it doesn't matter. If it's a soap, it's a car, if it's a food, you are not supposed to hide the defect. You're supposed to be honest and truthful about your product. If the person wants to buy it as is, alhamdulillah, you don't want, Allah will make a way for you. Okay? But for you to deceive, this is no good, there's no blessings in it, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, that such a manner is not the manner of the Muslims, okay? We're deceiving. The next hadith, hadith number 684, I was not able to reach a conclusion concerning the authenticity of the hadith. So the hadith, I'm going to leave it as is. Okay, but the hadith says that whoever holds the grapes in the vintage season, till he says them to those who get wine out of them, has hastily thrown himself into hellfire. with a clear knowledge. Maybe somebody says, this doesn't need any information or any authenticity because you are not supposed to do so. Yeah, you are not supposed to do so, but did the Prophet utter the hadith or no? This is a different story, okay? But we understand that the Muslim is not supposed to be a means and assistance in anything haram, by any means, even by advertising, okay, or by any means, or transporting the item. You are not supposed to be dealing with the haram, buying it, selling it, giving it, promoting, nothing, okay? But I love the hadith because, as I said, I was not able to search a lot about the hadith. So I don't know about the degree of the hadith, and I'm going to leave it. I say Allah knows this. Hadith number 685 عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الخراج بالدمار. And the hadith is حسن. عائشة reported to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, anyone, any prophet goes to the one who bears the responsibility. Okay? Okay, if I'm holding as example, I borrow your cow. Okay? So the cow in my position. And that you have to milk the cow every day, because if you don't do it, it maybe can be a harm for the cow. So as a result of the cow staying in your field, you have to use this milk, okay? So since it is in your position, if something happened to you, you're going to be responsible about it. If somebody trusted you with something, you are responsible about it. Therefore, became also that the profit of such things that you're holding is to you. Is this understood? Okay? So the holder is the person who benefits from what he is holding. Any prophet goes to the one who bears the responsibility. That means while the thing in your position, you are responsible about it, and also you can profit the prophet of it. And as a result of this, if a person, he bought something, and he discovered something that the seller never had told him about it, he has the right to return this item and take his money back. And whatever the person used during this time will be his. He told me a machine. But he didn't tell me that this belt or this, what you call the span as example, is old and needs to be done. And here I'm using it as a result of you not notifying me about the problem with the span, okay? So now I'm using it. And I made you understand like 2 or 3 trips to this machine, and after this broke down, okay? But this happened as a defect of what you already in the machine. It's not supposed to be broken like this, you understand? And so I already made a couple of $100 out of this machine, you see? But it came also the problem that happened to the machine as a result of this defect that in the machine that you didn't tell me about. So the person has the right to take it back to the seller, get his money back. So the seller will say, okay, what about, you understand, you use it for 1 week. you made at least $200. Okay? So the $200 is not belong to the seller. It belong to the buyer. Okay?
What about if the seller did not know about the defect?
And this is something different now. Okay?
I understand you first the point you made, but what about if the seller did not know the defect?
If he doesn't know about it,
can it be returned to him?
It can be some kind of negotiation between both of them. Okay? If he's not aware about it. Yeah. حديث نمبر 686 وعن عروة البارقي رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعطاه دينارا ليشتري به أضحية أو شاة فاشترى به شاتين فباع إحداهما بدينار هذا حديث which was reported by Urwa al-Bariqi and the hadith is authentic that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the Sahabi a dinar to buy a sacrifice lamb. And what the Sahabi did, he went and he bought two lambs. And he went and sold one with a dinar and came back to the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a lamb and dinar. Okay? So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gives him one dinar to buy a lamb. So the person went and he bought two. He knew the bargain, whatever, he got two. He was able to buy two for the price of one. And what he did, he sold one of them with a dinar. So he got his original money, plus he still have one lamb more, and he took it back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in case you understand what we understand from this hadith, the hadith is authentic, that you bought somebody in your behalf, to act in your behalf, in some kind of transaction. Now whatever he do, okay, now it be acceptable to you because he acting in your behalf. He's acting in your behalf.
He have the right to sell the second lamb.
Yeah. He can sell the second lamb, but he has to come back again to with the lamb, okay? Because he's sending for a special mission to buy a lamb. So now he's coming with two dinar, but this is not what has been requested from him. Okay? So now, but what you do as addition to what's been requested from you is a different story. Okay?
What happened if you kept the dinar and gave you the lamb? Is it
I don't know. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he blessed, he had made dua for him with the blessing for his transaction. So they said that this Sahabi, he came, is so good in business to such a degree, if he buy even the bird, he would be making money in it. You see, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. And this also showed you that how a person should be kind by trying to reward the people when they do good for him, and the minimum that you make dua for them, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made dua for this sahabi. Also that here there was no any strict limit for the Prophet, okay? And he acted in his own, and what he could buy for one, he bought two for one. He